it would be kind of interesting to kind of like pre-viz the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
You know,
like storyboard it out.
You know, you like run it through an algorithm and it like sort of shows you like a video game version of the two of you having sex.
Are you thinking of like an animatic, like what you do for work, for a commercial? There's an animatic for your first time having sex with someone.
I think it'd be more like a like computer graphics than like hand drawn.
Uh-huh. So you can see ahead of time, like, oh, this is going to be like really awkward, or like you're going to enjoy this a lot, or
you know, you can see here at the 12-minute mark, I'm just going to actually get tired and just go to sleep.
Yeah, it's good for both parties to know that in advance, I guess. And they're sort of like, that's fine. Then that's fine, you know, like. But okay, I think there's something to that. It loses a little bit of the magic, but I don't know. There's a lot of the magic has been lost already.
I feel like, this conversation is clearly like a bunch of people who are introverts. How can I make this as safe as possible?
Right.
I know. I guess like that's.
I want to
like
have a button to end the date. I want a button to sex.
I don't want anybody to see my place.
Yeah. I want to feel do it for me.
I want to feel no shame, no emotions, and no risk.
All right. That's a good point, Leslie. Let's. I think there should be like a public approval section here.
Yeah. Hey, man, look what I did. If you did it, would you do it like this?
That's not how I do it.
I've been working myself to the bone, trying to pay off my student loans.
That's not how I do it.
I like carrots in my stew. And a sprig of parsley, how about you?
That's not how I do it.
Break it down.
Would you do it in a jacket?
Would you do it in a hat?
Would you do it like this?
I'd do it like that.
That's not how I do it.
Hello, and welcome to That's Not How I Do It, the podcast where we tackle the most pressing issues in the world, fight over what went wrong, and come up with solutions so crazy they just might work. I'm Jared Sain.
I'm James Miser.
I'm Sam Chidley.
And I'm Leslie Jones.
Who's that?
Yeah, who is that?
It's your wife.
Yeah,
it's my wonderful wife.
Ah, well, Leslie has been, I think she's listened to the show before, actually, I'm not sure.
Oh, I've listened a time or two.
Okay, but this is your first time on, so we'd all like to welcome you and thank you for joining us today.
Outside of appearing every week on the show to quickly sing on the theme song and then run away again.
Yeah, right.
Right, because our listeners might not realize it, but we perform that theme song live
every single week episode.
Yeah. You guys haven't had the courtesy once to thank me for singing in person every Sunday.
Well, we're going to take the opportunity today.
Too little,
but
too
not
late.
Quite yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Not yet. Guys, what are we talking about today?
My least favorite subject in the world.
Jared's least favorite subject in the world. Sam, how do you feel about it?
I posed the question, what are we talking about? So I need to know what we're talking
about. So you're pretending you don't know what we're talking
about?
This is
what I usually do.
Sam. This performs ignorance?
Yeah, that's
kind of my role on the show.
Okay.
Fine, I'll say it. We're talking about mating. We're down and dirty.
Sam said it.
Yeah. So, a warning to listeners, we will be acknowledging the existence of 69s and blowjobs.
That's not mating.
Butt sex and hand stuff. So if you have children listening.
That's not mating. That's sex. That's sex that does not.
That's non-mating sex.
Make a thing. Yeah. Okay. It doesn't make a new thing.
That's non-reproductive sexual acts.
All right. Yeah. So this is a good place to start because I clearly don't understand
mating.
No,
mating.
You definitely don't.
So let's talk. Like, can somebody
Sam
just run me through the basics?
All right. All right.
What is mating? How do I do it?
So.
And what has Sam been doing this whole time?
He's been doing 69ing blowjobs, butt stuff, hand stuff.
Trying to make a baby.
Elbow stuff.
Yeah.
He's been trying
elbow stuff. Yeah. Who told you about that?
He's and the sad thing is Sam's been trying to have a kid this entire time.
Fertility struggle.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so, like, do we need to go over the basics and talk about, like, what do we mean when we say mating?
Let's
at least put down that.
Yeah, like, what if this is somebody's, introduction to, like, how babies are made? Is this podcast right now?
Well, since it's mostly, like, our friends and family that listen to the show, like, I hope that's not the case, but...
you never know.
If there are, I don't know, children or naive adults listening, maybe talk to your parents first. I'm not really sure what to say about that. You're probably not going to get very good information in the next hour, is what I would say.
Oh, when a man feels a special way about a woman.
What do you mean by special way? Like, what if I don't care?
Well, I guess that's okay, too, as long as you're able to achieve erection. And that's it.
Are we really spelling out the bait? We're talking about penetrative sex specifically.
No, thank you.
No, we're not talking about that specifically. Yeah. We're talking about sex that occurs with no birth control happening.
Okay.
And
which
the things
can be penetrative,
that right. lead up to sex as well, because mating is more than the act.
Right.
Itself.
Yeah.
So where do we want to begin?
Courtship.
At the beginning.
Courtship?
Yeah, that's where it starts, right?
Yeah, I would say that's someone. Right. I think if you skip that step, you're going to end up with a lawsuit.
I don't know. You could go like a... You could probably...
There's arranged marriages.
There's arranged marriages. There's also like maybe a weird situation with some sort of a divider and two consenting parties.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's still mating, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I guess courtship is kind of a limiting term, but whether you date someone or your parents pick someone for you or you draw a name out of a hat or you go to the place with the dividing
process.
Wall where there's just a penis that comes through the wall and you don't know who it is. The first thing to talk about is like what happens before the act, whatever you want to call it.
Let's keep going on this dividing wall, though.
All right. Let's talk about that.
Because I was just thinking when Leslie was saying that, what if it was actually like, I don't know, like you had the choice, Leslie, of you just saw like 8 different erect penises.
Because that's terrifying. No, thank you.
Walk me through your thought process on how you choose.
I think I choose to leave the room.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'd walk up to each of them and I would just like smack them. You know, like, you know, Chuck E. Cheese and there's that game where like
whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-mole. Yeah. Like
the crocodiles come out.
Yeah. And you have a mallet.
Yeah, a mallet. You just whack these cheeses.
Yeah. That'll teach them.
That certainly will. That would probably be what I would do.
Two different ideas of courtship. You know.
And then, Leslie, you leave that room, you walk into another room, and then you see a different body part from the same 8 people.
Okay, so now they've got, like...
It's just a belly button. You see 8 belly buttons.
Okay, there's 8 belly buttons. Yeah. Well, I would try to have a Sharpie on hand, and then I would leave, like, a little tattoo on each belly button.
Okay, and then you walk into a third room. Where you see just, like, one butt cheek. Of each of these people.
It's back to whack-a-mole. Nobody should be showing me their butt cheeks. It's disgusting. Keep that to yourself.
You go into a fourth room and there's just ears. 8 ears.
Why did I come here?
Yeah, this is like the worst fun house in the world. I'm also like wondering at what point she like meets James, her future husband. Is that in this room somewhere? Or
I've been one of these 8 people the whole time. My dick's been malleted.
Yeah,
my butt's been slapped. I got a tattoo on my
and then
my
belly
button.
And when you get out the other end of the fun house, somehow I've picked
you. Picked me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like kind of a gestalt thing where it's like James is greater than the sum of his parts. So just looking at your ear or your elbow alone was not enough. Maybe. I don't really understand the direction of this very strange place.
The equation would kind of change if it's just you go to this place and... You whack penises with your mallet and you do all this stuff, but at the end of it, you choose someone and you have to be with them for forever versus you just have to make a baby with them.
Right. I guess those are two different things that we're talking about. So
Because if it were the latter, it could be kind of interesting and equalizing. Like if he was sort of random, whoever like, you made a baby with was just like some random person. Maybe that would solve like income inequality.
Oof. You think so?
We just mix it up. It would be super random.
Through a like semi-anonymous reproduction.
Yeah. You would have to co-parent with your random partner, well, see, but you would have to like necessarily live with them.
Yeah, because, all right, so really, we're talking about two different things which, in our society, like, usually overlap, which is mating and the act of, like, you know, having sex and that resulting in a baby. So that's, like, one side of this thing that we're talking about. But then there's also, you're talking about mating in the sense of, like, choosing a, like, mate for life, which is a different thing, but
yeah,
in our society they usually like work hand in hand.
Yeah, there's overlap, right?
So you're saying like, well, this isn't necessarily like the person you're gonna marry. You're gonna make a baby with this person and they have to help you raise it.
Yeah, but
that's not, it's not like your spouse.
I mean, not if I've had to walk through a funhouse with a bunch of elbows and penises coming out of the wall. I don't want to mate for life.
Sure.
In that regard. Yeah, okay.
I don't even know if like, I think it's a good like criteria to like choose
as
who's going to make your baby.
As a man, it's also not a great experience.
I don't want to really be part of it either. Yeah. It just seems like the most like base reduction of, you know, like competing for like a sexual partner is like, I'm just going to stick my dick out and like... and like see if anybody likes it, you know, like
well, it was your idea, Sam.
That was not my idea.
Jared's idea.
No, it was your idea, Jared.
Yeah, you're when trying to pass it off on this someone else.
The third of the conversation went like this. Sam said sex is between two people who know each other, and then I said, well, what if there's a divider?
And Jared was like, that's a great idea.
And then Jared was like, let's
roll with that.
Let's go with this.
We need to focus
eight
on
penises
that.
Coming out of a wall.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
So I guess right now, if we're talking about like mating rituals in the modern era, I guess that's like dating, tindering, even marriage is part of a mating ritual, because usually you are getting married before you are,
right? This is that
mating.
It's also a step that's happening before, like
not anymore.
Let's make a baby thing.
Not anymore.
I think something like 40% of children in this country are born to unmarried parents.
Oh, well,
so,
wow. Never mind.
I think marriage is an unessential part of mating.
Yeah, I mean, we know people who are unmarried with children. I don't. Well, I don't know.
Name names.
You want me to name?
Yeah, name and shame.
I'd be ashamed of. They're wonderful parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
So, like,
they are wonderful parents.
Yeah, like, I think it's just, I think that's an interesting thing to point out is, like, it probably never has been an essential element of mating. It's just getting back to that divide we brought up earlier where it's, like, you have this, like, one type of mating, which is, like, you're the person
divide are we talking about? Are we talking about
the sorry, this is the abstract theoretical divide that Leslie and I were talking about a minute ago. Like, the divide between, like, who you have a baby with and who you spend your life with.
Right.
So you think you should have babies with people you're not married to?
All I'm saying is that, like, well, if this is something that is on the rise, which sounds like it might be, I think we should embrace that. Because I don't know, I'm like, not that I'm like anti-marriage or anything, but I'm pro-family. So I think, like, I think that you can have a family without being married. That's the point I'm trying to make.
I think you get conservative voices who see that and say, like, oh, this is the downfall of our society. But on the other hand, it's like, well, actually, women just feel safer, more able, secure, perhaps to leave bad relationships.
Yeah.
Or to not live like in that kind of terrible situation.
Yeah, that's true. So we can take marriage itself out of the equation of this mating ritual.
Yeah.
But I think we need to come up with some new mating rituals.
Okay. If there's not this like, am I making a decision about, is this a person I want to spend my life with? If you take that out of the equation, if we're just going to talk about like mating in terms of like reproduction,
yeah,
then I think the courtship element of it looks different. Go ahead, James. I thought you were going to sneeze.
No, I was burping.
Oh. if you take the like coupling joining together aspect out of mating, mm-hmm. or if you make that optional and like tangential
okay.
to the idea of making a baby, then courtship is going to look differently.
All right, let's do that.
Okay, so like we're talking about like
we're talking Discovery Channel style.
I want to find a mate who's going to be like an ideal mate to make a baby.
Yeah. So, in the animal kingdom, there's a lot of really cool mating rituals. I think most famously there's those birds of paradise who have the crazy dances.
Oh, those are really cool.
Do you want to do something like that?
I've been trying to do something like that. Yeah, I do. I want to do something like that.
Okay. What is our bird of paradise mating ritual?
Well, I think clothes can play a part there. Like, I could have, like, a really flashy suit with, like, a cape.
And you have to, like, have some flair when you wear it. Yeah. So it'd be like the bird. You can't just put it on. You have to, like, twirl it around.
Yeah.
Constantly.
I would definitely get more attention if I walked around in, like, a flashy suit with a cape.
Yeah.
And I, like, went into a club and was like, swish, swish.
And they're like,
but,
he's looking
but
for
you're
a mate.
Not the only one like, doing that.
Who is that? Oh, that's right. I'd be competing against
You'd be
other.
Competing. You'd have to do
these
dance
are all,
offs.
These are all, you know, heterosexual men
yeah.
in a club swishing around.
That's right.
Capes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You'd have to go to a club.
Yeah.
Your favorite Cardi B song would come on.
Uh-huh.
And then you'd have to, like, swish, swish, swish. Meanwhile, there's, like, 40 other dudes who are also swishing around, and you got to swish better than everybody else.
Yeah, swish fight.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, nobody here really goes to clubs, but you all have dated. So, what? I guess I'm curious, could you do your swish, swish cape at work? Or is that, like, a hashtag
Ooh.
Me too situation?
Oh.
I think there's
certain like work parties is maybe like okay.
You can swish your cape.
You can swish your cape a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe you have like a more like toned down cape that you swish.
Yeah. Okay. What about like
I
you
think,
are?
I think the courting ritual at work it looks very differently because it's like one of those you people obviously do court each other at work.
Yeah. So like, what if you're in the office kitchen, you're getting your non dairy creamer for your coffee,
uh-huh.
and this. Cute woman comes in who works in the other department. Can you just you know undo a button on the cape?
I think it's more
is
like
that crossing
this.
A line?
I think it's more
the,
like this.
The cape
it's,
has buttons.
It's less like a cape and a button system, and maybe your cufflink. You like roll it up, and there's something a little bit colorful underneath.
Yeah, inside, your sleeve.
Yeah, inside of your sleeve.
And then
like
she
Paisley or something.
Yeah. And she's just like, no. No, thank you.
My supervisor.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, I have very strict rules about work, which I've learned the hard way. But like,
ooh,
right, which is you only
date not, shut up. We're not talking about any of that stuff. Please.
All right,
you showed your Paisley to someone.
Thank you. Yeah. The point is like, I think there are people have different protocols at work.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, the whole, like, swishing around with the cape thing, you're not going to do that at work. My version of that might look something sort of like, you know, like, if we were sharing, like, a quiet confidence in the break room or something, you'd be like, you know, I don't know if you wear this, but I own a cape.
Real subtle.
I don't like that because then I would be thinking, I'd be like, you know, I thought Sam and I were just friends and we were cool and maybe it is still cool. He's just telling me he has a cape because he goes out and uses it. Or is he telling me he has a cape because he wants to use it on me? Whereas if you just came into the break room and you just swished your cape a little bit, I could just be like, no.
Oh,
and
I
then
see.
It would be very clear cut. So
I'd
be like, that's not, that's there's no gray area there. I know exactly what you're doing with that swishy cape, and I'm not interested.
So I guess, but my counter argument that would be like, work is an inappropriate place to swish your cape. So you shouldn't be doing that.
I know, but you know what? People do inappropriate shit at work every day.
I know.
That's true.
I guess, yeah. So
you shouldn't talk about your cape at work.
Maybe yeah, so okay. You should just like swish your cape at work?
I don't
what
know.
What are we talking about?
Here's what I think. If you're at work and you have a coworker that you're interested in,
uh-huh.
you need to, at work, you just have to be a coworker the entire time.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be Talk some sort that. Of like, I don't know.
Like after work
yeah,
drinks
after work
or something.
Drinks or whatever. At which point, you just go out on the dance floor, swish your cape around.
Sure.
And it's not like you're specifically swishing at your coworker. you know, because you're like at a bar or whatever. Oh, you're just swishing.
So maybe it looks like this. You're in the break room. You're like, hey, a bunch of us are going to the cape swishing club down the street. I just want to give you a heads up. There's going to be some cape swishing there.
But that's a warning then.
This solves nothing then. It just introduces the same vagaries that are already there with office courtship, only it uses a cape.
I think there needs to be vagaries in office courtships. It's kind of where I'm coming off on the other side of this, where it's like, I don't think that the office is an appropriate place to be aggressive.
No, it's not.
Really? What if HR was involved in sort of like a Tinder-like setup at the office where everyone has a ballot with like, oh, yeah.
You want HR deciding your relationship?
I mean, what if like there was just a policy which is like, if you're in the break room, you can show a little bit of your paisley shirt sleeve, but you cannot swish your cape.
Okay. Very strict.
That's just clear for everyone.
Acknowledged protocols of like how much of the inside of your sleeve is acceptable. Yeah. Very Victorian.
I have a fundamental question about this cape situation.
Yeah.
Which is, we're all assuming that it's going to be the males that are switching.
No, everybody's got capes.
No, just the men.
But what if we switch that?
The women have the capes?
Yeah, the women have the capes.
Hmm. I think women have a different version of capes.
They have tiaras.
No, I don't want a tiara.
No, they got
we've got tridents.
Yeah, women have tridents. And the longer your trident is, the more desirable you are.
That could get complicated. Like these women carrying
someone's
around.
Someone's walking around with a 20-foot trident.
I'm going to have like a 10-foot trident. And then when I get on the subway in the morning, I'll have to like put it across my lap. And then everybody else is seated next to me.
Yeah, and like all the other women on the subway will also have 20-foot tridents.
Obviously, we're going to have to redesign the subway.
Yeah, there would be. Or maybe there would be just a special carriage just for your trident. And then when you got to your stop, you'd go collect your trident.
Yeah.
I'm curious why we landed on tridents.
I don't know. It just seems like a symbol of power.
Okay.
And I'm attracted to that.
So it's like the most, like, is it the longest, the shiniest? Like, what makes it, like, the best trident?
I mean, I think, definitely height. However tall it is. Yeah.
However many spikes.
Well, you could still have a paisley trident, too.
You could have a paisley trident.
Whether there's, like...
It's possible.
Is a trident always three-pronged?
I think so. It's the tri part.
Unless it's broken.
What if it's like a quadrident?
Then everybody wants to date you.
No, that means you're into something really kinky.
And I think with your trident, you know, because it has these prongs on it, it just seems natural that you would use it to snare somebody's cape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like swishing around and you're just like...
Gotcha. Yeah. We're mating now.
You can kind of just poke people with it to flirt. Is that like,
or defend yourself from their advances?
Yeah.
And this is cool. You have a pretty good reach with like a 20-foot trident.
Someone's like showing too much of their paisley shirt sleeve in the office. Just grab your trident.
Just poke them right in the gut.
That's right.
Stop that.
And I like that it's so long that you can kind of like the people in your office you really don't like, you can keep them at a distance and spear them from like across the room.
Yeah, you just like back up, not let them into a meeting room. Yeah. Like, nope, not you.
Yeah, you're too weird.
You're too weird. Get out.
Too aggressive.
Stay away.
Okay, so this is pretty solid progress we've made. So we've got guys walking around in swishy, colorful capes to express their individuality and to express their desire. So that's another question. Are they like just like out there like swishing at the world, or are they like swishing
usually
at like a specific like female?
I feel like they're just swishing at the world.
They're swishing.
They like to believe they're swishing at one person, but they're really swishing at the world.
I think if you're swishing your cape, maybe eventually you can sort of like, if you see like somebody's trident is like toying with your cape a little bit, you can sort of like focus your swishing.
I see.
Towards that woman.
Uh huh. This one.
This one's into my swishing.
This one likes my particular pattern of paisley.
Yeah. She's spaghetti twirling my cape with her trident.
Yeah. I'm going to demonstrate my swishiness.
Yeah.
spaghetti twirling is like very direct.
Yeah, it's very direct.
That's true. Yeah, that's a match.
Okay. Is it any more complicated than that? Or is it just like...
I would also like to see in a club and like a woman walks in. She stares across the club and sees one man who's swishing catches her eye. And then she just takes her trident and just throws it across the club and spears his cape to the ground.
Oh, that's good.
Wow.
So he
can't
get away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's just like
you're mine.
Swishing desperately.
Wow, this got very kind of animalistic.
Yeah.
It is.
It is animalistic. I think because we're not talking about like lifelong mates or something. We're talking about like you, me, baby.
That's right.
Yeah.
So,
I guess so.
Well, it could be. I think we're not ruling out lifelong mates.
No, we're not.
Mates,
of course not.
We're just saying that's not.
But like what so far the criteria that we've developed to make that decision is swishy capes and tridents.
Well, I mean, that's not really true. There's still all sorts of criteria that is a personal preference.
Okay.
This is just the ritual that we go through.
Ah, I see.
So, you know, it's like maybe you know this person who's swishing and you think they're really funny or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Or you know, like, they have the same values as you or whatever.
Right. So it's not just the person with the most colorful swishy cape and the woman with the longest trident, like, they're just going to get all the babies. Maybe they will anyway.
I mean,
it's still like a...
That's also...
There's all sorts of other factors, and this is just like the performance that everybody goes through.
Right.
I think I understand.
Hmm.
So what happens after the trident has nailed a cape to the floor?
Well, since we're setting this up for ideal mating for ideal babies, I think you, after your cape has been pricked with a trident, I feel like you got to fill out a form.
Okay. What's on the form?
Lots of revealing information. Yeah, credit score, salary, height, weight, blood pressure.
I'm never going to make it.
how fast you can run a mile, how many push-ups you can do, a logic question, some analogies.
An emotional intelligence question.
You need to have that like psychopath test on there too.
Oh, that too. Yeah, measure your emotional affect.
So you're saying there should be we should be considering qualities that might make for a good person when we're deciding who we want to mate with.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
As opposed to just being like, that person's really cute. We need to put more thought into
it. I mean, you've already pricked
But Leslie, are you concerned about the income inequality issues?
See, I still am attached to my utterly random. Like, there'd be like a big computer machine, uh-huh, and whoever you are, you just had to make a baby with somebody. It could be even somebody on like the other side of the world.
Uh-huh. So you're like bringing in some sort of like this is like a statistically like approved ideal partner for making a, like, who will make the best baby with you specifically?
Well, I mean, Jared brings that up. I was thinking, if you're thinking selfishly, you're like, well, I want someone to fill out this form so I can see if they'll make a good parent. But on the other hand, if it were just utterly random,
uh-huh,
that might be good for the species.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Would definitely be more
diverse. What are we placing first? Like the individual
or
the whole?
Jared, that is the forever question.
Yeah.
That's a good question for like mating episode though.
I think interest. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Are we talking about ourselves or for society?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think the other thing that's interesting about the sort of like statistically best match computer generated mating thing is like you wouldn't even have to then like ever meet this person. You could just like send your sperm to a lab, send your egg to a lab, and then the baby could just be made in the lab. You wouldn't even ever have to see it.
Yeah, all you get is the Instagram handle for the baby.
And then you just get like social media updates as it grows up.
Yeah.
Wait, who raises it?
A robot.
What? Okay. The machines. Yeah.
That makes sense.
I guess like if we're
computer that told that who that it's the computer would be its real parents. Because it said, like,
the computer selected the
sperm, this egg, together. Now I have my child.
Yeah. So, I guess why am I going through all the trouble of like swishing my cape around if I'm just going to get like a computer to match me up with somebody on the other side of the world?
That's like that. Yeah, we have to reconcile that because we sort of have two different ideas going on.
So maybe what's happening is we're splitting mating in two, where you twirl your cape because you're looking for a mate for life, whereas the computer makes sure that's your biological mating is outsourced to a computer.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you gotta twirl your cape so you find a person you can love forever. Mm-hmm. But then outside of that, I mean, you just live with that person.
Okay.
Your baby is decided by a computer. We've solved it. There's biological mating and romantic mating, and they're different.
I think that so far the episode is really driving in that direction, that we're finding a difference between those two ideas. But I'm not convinced I want to, like, hand over that decision to a computer.
Okay, I mean, I'm not super attached to this idea. I feel like the enthusiasm in the room is cool.
No, there's something in it that does make sense. I'm just trying to figure out if there's a way to, like, reconcile it with what people naturally will want.
Well, I thought that you had a pretty good initial instinct, which was after you've been swishing around with the capes and you've pricked a cape, you then, like, have to fill out a questionnaire. Mm-hmm. And maybe at that point, the questionnaire isn't just sort of, like, from me to you. Maybe the questionnaire goes up to the computer.
Yeah.
To the AI, which then decides whether or not to give it a, all okay. systems go? Or abort mission.
Like the computer could tell you meet someone, you both fill out your questionnaires, the computer's immediately like, no, this relationship's going to be really toxic. And then the computer forces you to break up.
Or, yeah, the computer's like, this relationship has no political value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, no, I think we're getting closer, though, honestly. It's still an individual choice. So we're like, we're drawing our mate in through our courting ritual, but that mating has to be approved by something that is like just looking out like for like the bottom line of the species overall.
Yeah.
So it's you two look like you could make like a pretty good baby together. Okay, you're approved for a baby. Mm-hmm. But then you have these other two people who's like, no, you two should not, mate. I don't care how colorful your capes are and long your tridents are. Like, you're not allowed to have babies.
Well, and it doesn't necessarily have to be just like a yes or no. We could come up with some sort of incentivized system where it's like, if you're like, oh, this,
you like finish your master's
would have
degree,
like, would have like 10 benefits to society.
Mm.
So
yeah, that's
you
good.
Get some sort of incentive.
Hmm. Yeah, it's like,
or this coupling would have like 10 demerits against society. And so there's some sort of disincentives.
That's right.
To continuing. But you're not forced. Uh-huh. It's just some are encouraged and some are discouraged.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I like anything that anytime we can take away force. Like I don't want to have a situation where everybody like has to do something.
Yeah, yeah, I'm fine with that. I just think that men's sperm should have like a robot that controls it.
Wait. What?
So there's a little robot that lives in your testicles.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And? Yeah.
And the computer controls it. And if there's 10 demerits against it, then it's like then it kills all the sperm as it's.
Oh
my god!
Wow. So it's like you're sterilizing people.
Yeah.
I think this is. Either way we look at this with this computer, I think it's sort of troubling and interesting that we all seem to be attracted to the idea of this like all-powerful intelligence that will tell us whether or not we're making a good decision or not. Yeah. Which that's ultimately like the worst thing about mating. You don't know if you're making a good decision.
Oh yeah,
right.
You can't really ever know.
Right.
If it's gonna last forever, you don't know.
Yeah, or if your baby's going to turn out shitty.
Yeah.
Like a shitty baby.
Yeah, you really, even however much you like someone, I guess you kind of know if you've met their parents, but you don't really know what someone will parent like.
It's true.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know.
Right. And so
That's not even something you really discuss in mating, in courtship.
No.
You're not like, I mean, I guess maybe you're like, oh, would you spank? No. Yes. But you don't get into, I don't know. Wouldn't even really know how to talk about it. You've never done it before.
Yeah.
And so you're thinking like this, like we're like being, we're drawn to this idea of like an all-powerful computer because it kind of removes that responsibility from us.
Yeah. Right. It removes like this weight of.
It's like, oh yeah, you guys are good.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to, we don't have the, like, we're not responsible for the consequences of that decision.
Yeah.
Well, you might be responsible for it, but you can rest easy knowing that
you've made the right decision,
like knowing
already.
The information in advance.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Are we moving out of courtship in the near future? I feel like we've been.
Yeah, we need to get out of it.
Okay.
We got to get out of courtship and into the down and dirty.
The down and dirty. The icky sticky.
The icky sticky.
I'm trying to think of some more.
The sucky fucky.
Yucky mucky.
Sucky fucky. All right, somebody segue.
Now we're talking about sex.
Now we're talking about sex.
All right. I guess that's good. Sex. We're talking about sex is the next portion of the
On this extra steamy
process.
Episode of That's Not How I Do It.
I don't know how we've managed to make this stuff like not sexy at all. So far there's been like a cape and a trident and a computer.
I don't know, but that's just like because we're living in the current society as it is.
Yeah.
If you were in the society that we were making, you would find these capes and tridents very sexy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've made it out of the club, out of the restaurant.
Or the restaurant. Yeah.
Now we're back at the apartment. Mm-hmm.
So we're going, like you just go to an apartment.
Yeah, or like wherever, a hotel, whatever. I mean, you know.
Or like a designated
sex. I was thinking
sex
limousine.
Place.
Sex pod, sure.
Sex pod. Like pull out bed in like a. There's just like 20 of them on a wall, and you just like pull out your drawer.
Ew.
And the two of you get in it.
Oh, like, and like one of those
and
capsule
hotels? And the whole
hotels?
Thing is just kind
of
like jiggling.
Yeah,
like, okay. Right. All right, so we're doing jiggly pods.
Jiggly pod. I don't know. So there is something in that it's a neutral space. Because there is, especially like early in a relationship, there is a bit of a dynamic where the, like with the your place or my place. And you could take that out of the equation where it's like,
you just go to the sex pod.
We're going to go to like this like neutral place where neither of us has to feel like it's, you know, you're not like bringing them into your life at that point.
Right. It's more like
when you bring them back to your home.
Yeah. It's more like an operating room or something like that. Where
it's an operating room. We will now perform the sexual act.
But it'll be clean
how
at least.
Yeah. What are we talking about? How? Are you going to feel claustrophobic?
Probably.
I don't really want to go to the Jigglypod.
No. I don't even know. Somebody said sex pod.
Okay, like when you go to the Jigglypod, is there like a bathroom attached to it? Got to clean up afterwards?
The whole thing's also a bathroom.
Okay.
It has a drain in the floor.
It has like a whole like a
it's
like
more
a
like
hose
a clean
system.
Room. Like,
yeah, it's like it's like those porta potties in Europe that like you close the door and it turns into like a it just like has a water sprinkler turns on and just washes the whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it's like in your science like class when you were in high school and there was that eye wash
emergency
thing.
Eye wash.
Yeah.
There's one of those with a sink that's at like waist.
Okay,
level.
So when I get in it, is it possibly going to be damp from the last sterilization room?
Yeah, you're right. This is not a very.
It's going to smell of bleach.
You're right. I don't think I want to go to this place.
Sounds horrible.
But all right, so I think we can keep the neutral aspect of it, and just make it nicer.
Maybe it just looks like your own room, but it's not your room. it's like the comforts of home without actually being your home.
It's like where you. This is like where you go when you're not ready for somebody to know where you live.
Yeah.
Wait, so does everyone, every time you rent an apartment, you also have like a clone apartment that looks the same?
Yeah, that is just for sex.
So I don't know about that, because I
with people you don't trust,
right?
To know where you live,
yeah, right? So
but that's embarrassing later. Like, if you want to take them to your real apartment, you're like, actually, I took you to the
no, it's
my I don't trust
it's
you.
Fine, it's fine. It's accepted. Normal. Yeah. It's normal.
So here's the thing about that. I don't think it's just like I don't want this person to know where I live. It's there's also sort of like I'm not ready for this person to see how I live.
And yeah, who, and I'm who, ashamed.
And, no. Like, and like, no, like, all right, you go to somebody's house, there's like pictures of their like family and their like closest friends, and they've got, you know, the
your,
thing
your mom's there.
It's like sitting on the bookshelf that's, you know, got
what
some
thing
like,
is shitting on your sitting on your bookshelf?
My point is
your bric-a-brac.
Yeah, my point is like there's a lot
spoon
of
spoon collection,
very like personal artifacts in your apartment, and if you just had like an exact clone of it, they're still going to be getting like all of those intimate things that maybe you're not ready to show them yet. So like part of the, like the reason like people go to a hotel is not just like I don't want them to know where I live, but like a hotel room is completely anonymous, you know. And like so, I think doing like a clone of your bedroom is. Not anonymous, even if it's in a different place.
Why are you so concerned with your sex being anonymous, Sam?
I'm not. I'm just saying that there is something like nice if we're not talking about like coupling for life. If that's one thing, like if you're gonna like couple for life, and then it's in your interest to like bring that person to your home, right, and establish the intimacy. But if that's not what you're after, if you're just talking about like let's make some babies,
yeah.
And you have no interest in like making this person like a permanent part of your life, then it might be in both parties' interest to have somewhere neutral to get down and dirty.
Yeah, and maybe there's also like all sorts of like if you're into like some sort of fetish, there's all sort of options for that too.
I don't know why not. Like, people have
fine, I guess.
But guys. Do we want to stick with this whole penis-vagina thing, or do we want to just create something totally different?
Like what? Yeah. I need to hear some options before I dismiss.
You know, maybe like a like an osmosis type.
What?
Osmosis? Like we like meld?
Yeah, like we meld together and then we separate, and then there's like a third, like two more. Like
oh, like cells dividing?
Yeah, like
or
cells
something?
Dividing, you know?
Although I guess cells don't have to
combine.
Yeah, you combine and then uncombine.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or it could be like that in the Coneheads where you like put on like a wreath on your
head. Yeah.
And just sweat.
Oh, yeah. I remember not really. I watched that movie with my parents and like was young enough to not understand what was going on, yeah. But could intuit that they were like very uncomfortable with me seeing it.
That's funny.
What is going on?
What if? What about this for mating? More like plant style, where like a bee had to come and take pollen from you
one of those sex bees.
Yeah. And then carry the pollen to like a seed.
So
does this bee fly into your
with
urethra?
Humans is the problem. Like
it's on your head.
Are you changing the way like our bodies work?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause like right now I have trouble picturing like anything transporting my seed to like another person.
Yeah, bee.
I don't know, you just take it in like a sandwich bag. To the agreed upon location.
the drop box.
Yeah. Oh, I kind of like that. And then I like you could put like a bit of hair or like herbs or like little trinkets and then that would influence what kind of being was created.
Wow. That's interesting.
It's like a little bit of spycraft almost. You have like a dead drop. And then one day you go to the dead drop and there's actually just a baby there.
Yeah. It is kind of like
and you just
that.
Take it home.
It sounds like it's a combination of spycraft and some nice plating. You know,
yeah. Yeah, it's got like a garnish.
Garnish, yeah. A little dollop of
yeah, it's got
you know,
some
like a
orange
passion
peel.
Fruit.
Yeah. It's got a lemon twist. It's got a napkin that's folded to look like a crane.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds a lot. You guys have made it a lot more appealing than what it actually is, which is like a bag full of semen, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I'm just saying that's what it is. And it has nice plating. It's going to be look nice. All
right.
Okay, you're just walking through this. There's like this one park. You're just walking through it, and there's just all these plates everywhere.
Yeah, with these beautifully plated bags of semen.
Yeah.
That are each going to turn into beautiful, unique individuals.
That's right. And eggs. Like,
yeah, it's
why can't
to extract those.
Why can't human eggs be more like bird eggs?
Fish eggs?
Yeah,
fish
like
eggs.
A little quail egg.
Yeah, a little quail egg.
Yeah.
Turns into a human.
That'd be nice.
Would that be nice? What's the advantage of having eggs over live birth?
It doesn't grow in you, and you don't have to spit
you
it out.
You just go take the little quail egg to the park along with this bag of semen and the nice plating, and then you get a kid a little bit later.
Yep.
So the idea
Sam,
is
you don't
to, like, skip.
You don't want to take an 8-pound poo.
So the idea is
that's exactly like, what birth is like.
That's a 1-to-1 analogy.
Exactly. Anytime you've taken a huge dump, you know exactly what birth is like.
If you take an 8-pound shit, that's childbirth.
That's not a suggestion.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't take us up on that, Sam.
I was just gonna say, it's like I think I've done that and still don't feel qualified. So the idea of like having eggs then is that you get to skip pregnancy and birth.
Yeah.
Got it.
Seems like a win-win situation.
I don't know. I've heard I'm, you know, not somebody who can really have much to say about this, but I have heard women like say that they've enjoyed parts of being pregnant.
Yeah, it's not all bad.
I'm not sure that that's something that you would want to completely eliminate.
What about more of like a kangaroo type situation?
I don't know if anybody talks about how much they enjoy.
I don't like the slimy kangaroo pouch.
Well, if it wasn't, it didn't have to be slimy.
I don't want a pouch in my body. You can have a pouch in your body.
Maybe you give birth to the tiny little kangaroo. And then it comes into my pouch.
I will give birth to the quail egg and put it in your pouch.
Yeah, put it in my pouch. Tiny little embryo into my pouch.
Yeah, I'd be fine with the pouch thing, too, if men had pouches. I just don't like the... weren't so, like, mucousy and slimy and stuff.
Yeah.
If it was, like, I had, like, a part of my body, I could, you know, put my foot in or something.
Your body's full of mucus and slime.
Yeah, but it's, like, what I'm saying is if I had a pocket that was like full of like slimy stuff, I'm not going to put anything else in it besides something maybe biological.
Well, you're not supposed to.
Yeah, I'm saying it would be nice to have the extra pocket space.
You probably get an infection.
Yeah,
if I put
my keys
in
the wrong
not
in the
biological.
Pouch again.
Say it again.
You'd probably get an infection.
Yeah, you're going to get a yeast infection in your pouch.
From sticking things in there you shouldn't have.
Don't do that, Sam.
Just trying some stuff out.
It's disgusting.
Sorry.
I would want the pouch to be on my back, though, rather than in my...
Yeah.
Like almost like
I was
backpack.
Thinking back, too.
Like, you look like
Just because, like, then like, the little baby could be, like, crawl up on my shoulder and perch there for a while.
Yeah.
I like this
idea. I like the idea of babies perching on your shoulder. Kind of like a parrot.
Just like, bah!
You know, I'm imagining the baby still looks like a kangaroo, actually, at this point.
Okay. All right. So women are no longer going to be getting pregnant and delivering, like, live birth. They're going to be having eggs, which they put into a pouch on the man's body, and then the eggs hatch within the pouch, and then the man... raises the baby through infancy? Is that what we just decided?
No.
Sure.
They have like a
baby
like
so.
On their shoulder.
I think that it has
sometimes.
To be, I think it has to be like this. The egg the woman lays the egg.
Right.
Does she plate it? She plates
she
it.
Plates the egg.
She plates the egg.
Yeah. She plates the egg and then it hatches with a little embryo and then the embryo crawls into the pouch.
Okay. Like,
and if it doesn't make it into the pouch, it just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
So, is this something that the father has any say in, or is this like while he's asleep, like little embryos are crawling?
I think the father's looking forward to it.
Uh-huh.
This conversation is just making me deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's gross. This is like, you guys...
horrible.
Like, human reproduction is kind of like a little gross when you think about it already.
It's very gross.
And you made it worse somehow. Somehow you made it like
really?
More alien. Yeah. And yeah, you've got like an embryo like crawling into your back pouch? That's like the stuff of nightmares, man. That's not how I want to have a baby.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm with James. I like it. Like it's a foreign concept to us now. But once
that's right.
Once this becomes the norm, like
it's not like
it's not gonna be gross or weird.
None of it is like
it's gonna be really convenient.
Yeah, none of it is outside of nature.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah, and then one day that when that embryo grows into a baby, grows into a child, you'll sit them down and explain to them the facts of life and how they were once an egg that.
Yeah, exactly right.
Crawled into your back pouch.
On a warm spring
right.
day.
And you could show them like the video you took of them as an embryo climbing onto
right.
you.
Yeah.
And your mother brought a quail egg.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be great.
No.
Mm.
Yes. I don't. Okay.
I don't know. I'm with Leslie. I find this like I'm uncomfortable with this scenario.
It's horrific.
Yeah.
I think it's more equitable across the genders, like you share more of the early stages.
I am partial to the idea of outsourcing the burden of pregnancy.
Uh-huh. I agree with that part of it. Like, I wish pregnancy was less of a burden on women specifically, and like men don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, I wish there was a solution to that. I wish it wasn't this solution. That's what I've gotten. So I mean, I don't know. If there was like a, a neutral third location where we could like just put the baby in like sort of like a mucus pod or something and incubate it for 9 months, I'd be okay with that as well. I just like.
So you want like a non-human surrogate?
Maybe. You've got this, the embryo, and then you put it in this thing, and it grows it, and nobody has to have like a thing growing inside of them. I think I'd be okay with that. Is that too controversial? I don't know. How do you guys feel about that?
I don't know.
Taking it out of the body.
Yeah, just give it to the machines.
Yeah. Raise it like Matrix style.
Well, I mean, it is kind of like a surrogate. It's a surrogate birth through via surrogate, but it's just not a human surrogate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably do it in a pig's body.
Yeah, do it in a pig's body.
Yeah, little pig babies.
I'm on board if it's in a pig's body.
So you just want, like you want to keep
not
it.
A, it's not a pig baby.
It in the
it's a human egg with human fertilization.
I wonder if you could.
That's grown inside
if
of a pig.
You could grow a human in a pig.
I bet you could.
I bet you could.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you'd have to genetically engineer the pig a little bit, but.
Yeah.
You could probably genetically engineer a pig to, like, have, like, I don't know. Eight uteruses that are all.
You are so gross. So gross. All
right, so we're in agreement that pigs will be surrogate parents.
Yes.
Through incubation.
Yes, and beyond. There's already been people raised by wolves. What we really need is people raised by pigs.
Wait, the pigs are raising the children now too?
I think so.
Just the incubator.
It's a pig with the top of the pig's head cut off and a computer put in.
Okay, that's good. I was a little bit worried about like the pigs just like, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure how responsible they would be to the.
Oh, yeah, they're still going to be strung up. You know,
uh-huh.
Sort of like in a meat locker situation.
And they have,
it's a cyborg pig.
Yeah, and they've got like a computer nodes
okay,
coming
I
in
don't
out of their
think
brains.
I'm skeptical that a live pig could be a surrogate birth parent. I don't think a dead pig could be.
No,
I'm drawing
well, it'll still be alive. It just won't have a head.
Okay.
The blood will still be.
I don't know. I think you guys have gotten
couldn't
into
pump
like,
through
real like David Cronenberg territory. Yeah.
Yeah, but just, I mean, it's a little
this
gross.
This is the baby that
just
you
don't
want
think about.
To have. Like, this is the end result of, like, the mating ritual. It's like, yeah, you and me, baby, we're gonna
meat locker.
A fetus and put it inside of a robot pig. Like, that's the world that you want?
Well, yeah. I think so.
I still like the pouch idea, but
uh-huh.
Could live with this, too.
Uh-huh. I think it's worse than I. So, like the thing that I'm, I, like Leslie originally brought this up is like the discomfort and the burden of like being pregnant for 9 months and then having to give like a live birth. Like, I think I would like to find a solution to that. But like, this is just,
we have two already. You've rejected both of them.
I don't, what I'm saying is I'm not sure it's worth it.
Really? I mean, really it was more like four because I also threw out there, mitosis or whatever that cell splitting thing
is. Yeah.
And also having your sperm carried by a bee.
I think need to go back to biology because I don't think that cell division thing is mating.
Yeah.
I guess it's reproduction, but it's not mating.
Yeah. It's like cell division.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could do like a seahorse thing, I guess.
What's a seahorse thing?
What, they just mate with themselves and then spit out a whole bunch of little seahorse babies.
That's crazy.
Wait, seahorses don't need a partner to reproduce?
Nope.
Wow, weird.
They're both male and female. Or they can switch. I can't remember. It's like a very bizarre thing.
Okay. I don't even understand that.
What?
And you should watch a video of them giving birth because it's just like they're just like, it's like they machine gun out all these little mini seahorses. It's like,
does it make that sound?
Yeah, it makes that noise.
What about clams? How do clams reproduce?
It's a great question.
I'm thinking, what about those trunk clams? You know, the clam that looks like it's huge. It looks like an elephant trunk.
Yeah.
How do those reproduce?
I have no idea. I don't know how a clam does much of anything, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this? How about we did it March the Penguin style?
What do you mean?
Where a woman lays an egg, a fertilized egg.
Yeah.
And then a man sits on it.
okay.
Until it hatches.
That's at least,
I'm fine with it.
That's at least like both people are doing the work. Right, like that seems at least more fair. Like, we can't eliminate the work entirely because doing that means like putting it in like side of a robot or a pig. Like, if we're not comfortable with that, we can at least try to make the work more equitable.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that. That's not too far away from your pouch idea. It's just like less creepy. So it's like a woman like hatches an egg. A woman lays an egg.
Lays an egg.
And then
a man sits on it until it hatches.
Yeah. Okay.
Wasn't this part of Mork and Mindy?
Is it?
Doesn't he come out of an egg?
I think so. I don't know.
Anyway, I like Mork and Mindy, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah. And for the record on the clam issue.
Mm, yes, go on, please.
Young clams are male.
Okay.
And they just... Clams only have one limb.
Okay.
And they just shoot sperm out of
it. Okay.
When they're young.
Oh, okay.
And when as clams age, they get a little bit bigger. Yeah. They turn into a female.
Oh.
And then they just try to suck sperm out of the...
Wow.
That's interesting right there.
That's amazing.
And then do they have eggs?
Yeah.
A clam comes from an egg? Oh, that's so weird.
Clams are nuts.
Clams are nuts.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the older clams, when they turn female, don't... Suck in the sperm, they shoot out eggs, and then the eggs in the sperm.
Okay, just like water. Right. Bam. That makes kind of sense. Yeah, the fish are like that too, right? Fish like
yeah.
They just both put all their junk in the water, and hopefully some of it mingles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember some videos of fish doing it.
Yep.
In middle school,
I've seen that.
And they shake their bodies really fast.
It's like blah.
Yeah, blah.
A little squirt of salmon jizz in the stream.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Where are we in the process of mating? Because I feel like we've taken some turns.
We're at the egg hatching stage.
Yeah,
I think,
we're
right?
At the egg hatching.
The male's been sitting on it, keeping it warm.
Mm-hmm.
And some cracks start to form on the egg, probably, right? It's pretty big at this point.
Yeah. Then what comes out but a tiny little beak?
So we're having like bird babies?
No, it's a decoy beak.
Okay.
It's just a little beak inside.
It's to see if there's any predators around.
Uh-huh.
But if the beak is safe for a little bit.
than a beak, baby.
Than just a little baby hand puppet.
No, no, the beak is just like a tool that's inside of the egg.
Oh, so like the little tiny baby has like a little beak hammer.
Yeah.
Use it to get out of the egg.
Okay. I guess he would need something, right? To crack through the egg.
Yeah, because like a human baby is not soft enough to, or is too soft to like, break out of a...
I like the idea that when he's gestating, he also gets a tool.
It gets a tool, and it also learns how to use a tool before it's even born.
It comes out with a unique set of skills.
That's right.
Maybe it has like a whole tool kit, like a little baby tool kit.
Yeah, it's a little Bob the Builder tool kit.
Yeah.
I like that. I like the idea of useful babies. And they're like born and they can like, they already have
skills. What if the
egg has a little door that you can like drop some like stuff into?
Like what?
Oh, you know, still, like toys. It can still live there. Yeah.
Oh, it could continue to live in the egg. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
like
could just
a little crib.
Yeah, you could just be like, okay, it's been 9 months now. Then you just like open the little door and then take him out
and put him back.
Yeah, put him back in.
It's like instead of having a crib, it's like it's got its own little like baby house.
Yeah,
you can just like, maybe even like grow with the baby, and you can just like keep it in there until it's old enough to make decisions.
Yeah, maybe till about 12.
Yeah. So you don't really have to do a whole lot of like protective work.
Yeah,
until it's
when it's
old.
Annoying you, you just get to put it back in the
or
egg.
Or
I will send you back into your egg.
Another option. At 9 months, the baby is so big that its head pops out of the top of the egg. Its arms and legs shoot out the sides and bottom.
Okay,
it's like wearing a shell.
Yeah, it's got like an egg body.
Yeah, an egg body.
That's good.
Oh yeah, and then doesn't need any clothes.
It doesn't need any clothes, and it's
or maybe like the
protected.
Top of the shell, so that it would its head would pop out of the top of the shell, but like that part of the shell would still be on its head, like a helmet.
Yeah,
because its head would still be soft.
Yeah.
Or
wait, so is it just pooping and peeing inside of the
yes.
shell?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's
or maybe it's just like a little window and for the face, and then the arms and legs are coming out.
Yeah,
that's like an astronaut.
Suit. Yeah,
that's good.
I like
the idea of keeping babies safer. They seem so vulnerable.
That's right.
And that scares the crap out of me. Yeah. Like, it'd be nice if they had like a protective shell.
You know, like that is actually like a legit like thing that I would like to change about babies. Is that they're too? It seems like they're
too vulnerable.
Too vulnerable.
Yeah.
Soft little heads.
Yeah. Soft little heads.
Big heads.
Mm-hmm.
So is this the answer that we're going to give them shell bodies? Or
like Kevlar?
It's, like, it's kind of like a crab, like a hermit crab.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, they need to be bulletproof.
I feel like,
because after they like their arms and legs and their head like pop out, then you can like coat the shell with like maybe some like rubber or something to make it even stronger.
Right, because like shells, like that's some production, but like shells are not super strong.
They're famously
either.
Fragile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, human shells could be a little
thicker. Yeah, human shells would be thicker.
You'd think they would be, because like a human baby's pretty big, so
yeah.
They have like a very thin shell. But I like this idea of protecting the baby. I like they have like a little... What would you do? Maybe...
I think it's like a growth market opportunity for like Lockheed Martin.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Lockheed Martin.
Yeah. She's going to come up with like...
Baby defense.
Ultra tough. Baby equipment.
Yeah.
It's indestructible.
Mm-hmm. Military grade.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking it's more of a Gwyneth Paltrow goop opportunity.
Oh, hers would be like bullshitty stuff that like doesn't actually
like
work.
Like sequined babies.
Yeah, it'd be like...
alternative.
Yeah, it'd be like $700 and it would just be like some birch bark that you wrap around the baby shell.
That sounds utterly useless. I want no part of that.
Yeah, I want the Lockheed Martin baby shell.
Exactly.
You could, like, drop it off a skyscraper and it'll, like, bounce it.
Yeah, I want my baby to be able to survive an IED blast.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could sleep easier.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd be safe.
Like, you'd have, like, a really durable... baby. That's what I want. I want babies to be durable.
And like, imagine this. Okay, so, like, imagine, like, if you're a baby and, like, you are, like, playing close to some stairs and then you fall down the stairs, but you just, like, tuck and then you just, like, roll right down and it's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, like a potato bug?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yeah.
Roll up into a little ball.
Roll up into a little ball.
Roly-poly.
Yeah, I wish babies could do that. That would be cool.
And then just like roll right down.
Mm-hmm. Or like down or like Sonic
could,
the Hedgehog.
I wish I could do that.
Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog style.
Mm-hmm.
Armadillo?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Armor-plated babies.
Yeah. that role, and then you wouldn't even need a stroller.
You wouldn't need a stroller. You wouldn't even want one.
You could just kick it
down the street.
You could have like a hockey stick.
Yeah, hockey stick.
Just kind of go down the sidewalk, kind of swish your baby along.
Uh-huh. That's cool.
Be great.
Yeah.
You could throw them. Like, go long.
These are all great ideas.
Well, guys, do you think we fixed mating?
Yes.
Oh, definitely. And
except for all the gross sex stuff. It was horrible.
Yeah. I don't know. If
and the gestation. Fixed. That was also mostly disgusting. I like the swishy capes and the tridents.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to these babies. To me, they now seem even cuter than they are now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Way more fun,
and way
too.
Super fun. Yeah, you're like, gonna go to the park? I don't know, I'll take my baby.
Yeah.
The baby would be loving it, too. It'd be like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
That's right.
Their brains would not be scrambled eggs.
No.
No.
They'd be, like you said, durable.
They'd be durable, right.
You know.
Well, does that wrap it up for this week?
I think so. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, this week we got... I think we've come a long way with the whole mating process and made some really gross changes to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, them's the breaks.
And I think, yep.
All right.
Well, I think this week we definitely, we need to do the
yeah,
the
we got to actually do an outro. Huh?
Yeah. Oh.
If you have any interesting ways to have sex, go ahead and write them as an iTunes review for us.
In explicit detail, please.
Very graphic detail.
I need more ideas.
Jared needs more ideas.
And if you, if any of the things that we said on today's episode are not completely accurate, we'd like to know. So if you could please tweet those at us. We're at That's Not Pod on Twitter.
Yes.
And this week, I think we owe a very special thank you to our guest, Leslie Jones.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome.
A beautiful wife.
Thank you, Leslie. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us how people do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and
may your guest appearance forever haunt your Google search results.
Oh, God! Guest Leslie
Jones,
last name.
Number one, mating.
That's not how I do it. Jared, you made me regret all of this.
Yeah. I think we also want to give a special thanks to Clams for starting their lives as young men, eager to put their seed out into the world, and their lives as old women who are just shooting those eggs out there.
Yeah. You know, you could accidentally have incest.
I guess, what? Like, I mean, you're saying, like,
Jared's
make a baby with yourself.
This argument.
Accidental incest. It's always jiggering around in his thoughts.
He's really worried about it.
It's a real Back to the Future type situation. All right. Thanks.
All right. Till next time.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.